Welcome to Christ Today, and welcome to the new year of 2022. Heavenly Father, with so much going on around us, we wonder what will be coming our way. And whatever it is, we know we can deal with it in a Christ-honoring way because in your foreknowledge, you put us right here, right now, for a time such as this, which are the words that Esther spoke in chapter 4, verse 14, for a time such as this. And yes, we will serve God Jesus and pray for strength and guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in a new year, and we all wonder what kind of a new year it will be. And usually, from year to year, things stay pretty much the same. Oh, but here's another thing that happens for every new year. There are 2 more minutes each day of sunlight. Each day. So 10 days ago, we had the shortest day of the year, with the least amount of sunlight reaching Earth. But now each day is nearly 2 minutes longer, each and every day. And more sunlight means more warmth. So, spring is on its way, and soon enough, a hot summer will be here. We need heat to grow our crops, which we will harvest and eat, and thus we will continue to serve God as we live. It seems like there have always been two groups of people with two sets of ideas about the future. One group expects nothing to change, and for everything to continue as it always has. 2 Peter 3:4 talks about this, and the other group of people expects to see many changes. And maybe we all have a mixture of both expectations. Now, because we read the Bible, we know changes are coming. We just do not know when. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 all speak about what will happen at the end of the age, and it includes wars, rumors of war, famines, pestilence, epidemics, and earthquakes. And there will be offense, betrayal, hatred, lawlessness, deceit, and a lack of love. And we have plenty of those going on today. 2 Peter 3:1 talks about this also, where people are proud, boasters, unthankful, unholy, unloving, loving pleasure rather than God. There's more descriptions in 2 Peter 3:1 and also Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. More descriptions. But people can see what is going on today, and they can read the scripture. So, people believe Jesus could return any moment. And of course, that is true. But you know, I look at a variety of thought and opinion, but I do not have a date about the opinion of when Jesus will return. I only know there's a lot of reasons for every date that people look at. Lately, there have been people who look at the year 2028 and the year 2038, and some suggest a year after 2060, as in maybe a 2068. Well, it's still a far-off day, if it is 2060-something. And many times people have expectations when they read the Bible that things will happen soon. But there is kind of a pattern or going on in the Bible where things can take many years beyond whatever it is the people expect. So, it's another reason to know that our expectations may not be Correct. So today, there are descriptions about what's going on and how society looks now. And that causes people to see things could get, they could actually get worse. And those descriptions in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Second Peter, they all talk about a description of things that we see today. But things could get much worse, and we get concerned because we don't have any control over those certain events. Wars and pestilent epidemics and earthquakes. But we do have some control over famine, and that is that we can store up food. Storing up food is one thing we can do to alleviate a problem like famine. To me, that means having grains on hand, along with basic food and flavor. 5 days ago, a friend of mine asked me about how much food and supplies I would recommend. And I said, I do not have a recommendation. There's too many variables. And besides, the only important thing is for you to act on what you expect or foresee to happen. And if you expect to or foresee something happening, then you will be willing to act on it. If I tell you, you won't be so willing to act on it. But if you search it out and see what trouble you might be expecting and what you can do about it, then you will be inclined to act on it. And you know, so many opinions are out there. So many people have an idea of this or that. And even about how much food to have on hand. There are people who say a week of food, or a month of food, or a year of food. Well, as I have talked to the survivors of natural disasters, they often will say 6 to 8 weeks of food and water are what they recommend. And of course, water includes a water filter. Well, so that's one group of people who talk about having supplies. Another group of people are those who are concerned about a worldwide climate change. And they will say everyone should have a year or two of food, because with the climate changing and getting colder in the growing areas of Earth, that will reduce crop yields. So, everybody has their own idea. I really don't know what to advise you. It's just that there's nothing we will really want to do, because the events are unknown. But the Bible does tell you that some pretty serious events are coming, and famine is one of them. Maybe you should pray and ask God what to do. And along with praying and asking God, you might want to fast. Fasting and praying is a biblical method. And I just think that if you fast, you will get a greater understanding of why it is good to store up food. Yes, that's a little bit humorous, but it's so true. But I do say, search out the information for yourself to examine your real true concerns, and then to consider what your long-term food supplies would be. And don't wait until there is a crisis or a shortage. You want to acquire your food now, before there is a shortage. If there ever is a shortage, food will be difficult to find, and it will be quite expensive. So do things in advance if you have those concerns. Remember, the events in the Bible are really large events, big things. Now we know that as we have lived, we have had events in the world, but the Bible doesn't hardly talk about any of those. It only talks about the really big, huge ones. So if there is a huge coming famine, well, we might want to get prepared for it. Famine, pestilence, wars, pandemics, yes, all that is on a biblical scale. So what is coming? Well, will it be more of the same, or will there be great changes? These are all questions we can search out. Probably a little bit of both are going to happen. But looking at the United States and looking at the world, you can see that there is volatility here and there. So who knows what that could lead to? Certainly there could be a war. Certainly there could be a pandemic or famine. Yes. And for the last couple of months, I have been listening to people talk about food supplies and how there were schools locally and in other states that were unable to find a supplier or a contract for an entire school year because there was uncertainty about if food would be available and at what price the food would be. So that is something going on. And what should we really do if that is a question? Well, always remember that you do want water to have with your food, and so water filter is important. And another thing that is important is that you have something to for you and for your loved ones, but also you have some food to give away. I think of giving food away, and I think of at the beginning of a crisis, like a food crisis, people will be so accustomed to having their old-style delicious and perfect food that they won't appreciate the basic supplies that you have, or I have, that are plain and ordinary. You know, rice with beans or lentils and salt and pepper. That doesn't taste so good when you have been accustomed to some pretty good, delicious food. But if you've been hungry for a few days, rice, beans, and lentils sound pretty good, even with just salt and pepper. So just consider that for your timing. I know a few months ago I talked about Ezekiel 14:12 and said that when there is a famine in the land of God's word, God will bring a famine of bread. And that is when there is persistent unfaithfulness. And a lot of people today would say there is persistent unfaithfulness in our land right now. And most of us cannot fulfill what we think we should have put aside for food or supplies. But we can always do something. Now, some people can buy that 55-gallon drum and fill it with white rice and beans and sugar and salt and cooking oil and multivitamins. And you can do this for $200 or $300. And don't forget the a passive Berkey style water filter. Those also cost $200 to $300. But these are things that you can do, and it is always better to have something than nothing. So beyond the food and the water, I would also think of having heirloom seeds. Heirloom vegetable garden seeds. and gardening tools. Well, you're already aware that there are supply chain problems, and our supply of things has been interrupted, and it could easily happen even more and more due to what? Due to anything. A health crisis? Yes. A gas shortage? Yes. Due to a war? Yes. All these things can result in a supply chain interruption. So that's another thing to be considering. Another thing, I just said war, and you know that the United States just passed a law authorizing sanctions against Russia if Putin puts Russian troops into Ukraine. So these are already approved. Now, there are steps involved, but the steps include our military troops on the ground there if Russia invades Ukraine. So that's an area of tension, and China is another area of tension, where they have sent well over 100 military planes into Taiwan's airspace. And this has been while United States has had 100 Marines in Taiwan, and while the U.S. has had some highly advanced submarines close to Taiwan. Japan's Navy has also been in that area. So the U.S. could have a two-front war if things really progressed. And a war would cause shortages. During World War II, you have probably heard of the war effort going on to supply our troops. And because of that, all sorts of good basic food was rationed in the United States. All U.S. citizens had a ration card that allowed them to buy a few gallons of gas or a few pounds of sugar or meat or oil or coffee. See, if it happened once, it can happen again. And another thing that happened in 1942 was internment camps and American citizens of Japanese descent were forced into those camps, and pretty much all of them lost their business and their homes because they were forced into these camps. 120,000 people were Japanese descent went into those camps. So, if it happened once, it could happen again, I think. But please look at what's going on today and see if you think it could happen. After all, you know the hate that is going on around us today between liberal progressives and conservatives. There is a certain kind of a hate, especially for Trump supporters. And you know this is going on. It's going on today. And so it could turn into something even more intense than it is now. So there are conflicts going on in the United States and outside the United States. And, well, I do like to look at these alternative things. And so if you are interested in looking at alternative ideas that might be about a sensitive subject, I talked about vaccines, for instance, in the last 10 minutes of the October 23rd and October 30th broadcasts. And then we had some talk about what two priests said in the middle of the December 4th broadcast. I don't mind talking about different opinions because I like to hear what intelligent people have to say, what their viewpoint is. So I like to tell you these different thoughts and different ideas that are a little bit unusual, but they might very well be correct because some pretty intelligent people have looked into the matters. There certainly are many, many opinions. Many medical people talk about this vaccine as being good, and many talk about it as being bad. And they are inconsistent, so it's something you have to do to put a little work into trying to discern what it is you want to do with your body and with your children. It's a big question. But back to what could go on, we do have a national debt which is continuing to increase. That all by itself could collapse our economy and our banking system. That's what's happened with other countries that have grown their national debt to such huge levels. And all we do is we keep spending money and getting more and more into debt. So either our grandchildren will have a debt to pay back, or we will, in a sense, go bankrupt, and everything in our country will be owned by the bankers. I mean, all the public lands, all the courthouses, all of probably your property and mine too, cars and homes. That is a part of the World Economic Forum plan. It's been out there for over 5 years. They've talked about it as being a plan. So as we get further and further into debt, we have fewer and fewer options. And about getting into debt, Joe Biden wants to spend nearly $3 trillion on the Build Back Better program. And there's a few people who are saying no. Joe Manchin is one of them. He's a senator, and he says, nope, we're not going to do it. I sure hope nothing mysterious happens to Senator Joe Manchin. And we are having things that are changing in the world. And in a way, things change, and in a way, things stay the same. You know, that's just like Ecclesiastes 1:9, where Solomon says, there is nothing new under the sun. So when we can see what happens or what has happened at the upper level of governments in the past, we can understand how it could be happening right now in our very own government. And just among people, human beings, they want what they want and they kill people, literally. Goes back to Genesis 4:8 when Cain killed Abel. It goes back to 2 Samuel 18 when Joab killed Absalom. It goes back to Rome where the Caesars both killed and were killed by senators or other people? Yes. Why? For gain, because they had something they thought they could gain out of it, and they could. So we have had lots of deaths in our own United States. Lots of people have died suspiciously. There's been a question of CIA involvement in many of these deaths. And of course, that causes rumors. And a lot of these things, they are rumors. They are unsubstantiated. But it is still consistent in the themes. And there are consistent themes in the deaths of over 100 people associated with the Clintons who died under mysterious circumstances. Yes, they are rumors, but the consistency shows that we can pay attention to it. When people commit suicide with regularity, it is, that it's a regular theme. Even in controlled custody, it has happened. So there's mysteries upon mysteries, but we know that there are elements of human organization and individual choice that remain the same. I do think of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who before he became president, said, in politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way. So we have things going on in our land, and we know that there are forces at work. Yes, economic forces, but by far the strongest force I see is the dark spiritual force that that takes its effect among corrupt people. And we probably will never know the truth, because the truth of evil is often hidden. Now, Ezekiel 8:16 talks about that. He would not have known about the evil of the priests that were bowing down to the sun rising. But God gave him a vision. And, well, it's just that things are going on that we can hardly believe. They're happening in other countries of the world besides our own. In China, the CCP, or the Chinese Communist Party, is spying on all of its citizens and also on people around the world. And they want to have their own everything. They want to be in charge. So they are creating their own computer information systems so that they don't have to use the Western systems. And that way, just like Alibaba is doing, they are collecting all the user information that they can. That's what the communist CCP is doing. And it shows its power in many ways. And if you think of Jack Ma, who is the head of Alibaba in China, he disappeared for 3 months. That was over a year ago, but nobody could understand why he simply disappeared and then reappeared. And when he reappeared, he was very supportive of the CCP. So the lesson was clear to powerful people in China that you want to strongly support the Chinese Communist Party. No matter how rich you are, you can disappear just like Jack Ma did. So, lessons learned, and it's all a matter about history repeating itself. These are patterns. And here in the United States, our freedom is not guaranteed. It is something that we have to preserve actively. And it's not an easy thing to do, because we have to be involved with, often enough, it's politics that we don't want to be involved with. If you think about all the things that go on, you don't want to be involved with charities, for instance. But charities are paid a whole lot of money by a whole lot of government people. And isn't it interesting how the people in charge of the charities often enough are relatives of, somebody important like a mayor or a governor? All these things are going on right now, today, right now, in the United States of America. But do consider that if some of these changes were to happen, or if there was a war, for instance, our purchases would be greatly restricted, just to the regular things we always use and need, like meat and gasoline and sugar and coffee, just regular things. But it's something to consider when we are thinking about what we want to have on hand for the just in case. If you even recall, 1920 to 1933, there was the prohibition of alcohol in the United States. No one was allowed to legally buy or sell alcohol in general. So that is another example of how laws can change and affect so much of the population. Now, another example of how laws can change was in Australia. In the last year, there have been lockdowns. Now, those lockdowns were not voted into place. The people didn't say, hey, we want lockdowns. No, it was a few people in government who said, you are going to be locked down. And so well over half the people in Australia were locked down. Now, could such a tyrannical thing happen in our country? Well, wear your mask or do something else. Or you know what I'm talking about. Well, don't think that these things could not happen in our country. There's all sorts of plans. Why, even our own CDC had a plan to, isolate individuals from society, especially when they refused to be vaccinated. It was a plan. Like I said, over a year ago, they've had this plan to isolate people in a kind of a camp. That has been going on in Australia now for quite a few months, and people have been sent to these camps for a matter of weeks or a matter of months, and then they were sent a bill for having to stay in those quarantine locations. Yeah, so we don't want that to happen here, right? But after all, the United States is the freest nation on earth, yes? Well, there are plans for many things right here in the United States. I know I had that house fire a year ago, and I lost a whole lot of my notes on things. And one of them was how there were internment camps in the United States. Well over 100. Right here, they're empty, ready to be occupied by hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of people. Depends on how crowded the camps would be. But that's something that is not just a plan. It is a physical part of what's been going on. I know I looked once at the Go Army's website, and they had ads to recruit people who would be stationed in these enclosed camps. They were advertising for people who had special skills at dealing with a contained population to separate people and to evaluate them. So we have the things going on. We just don't know when any of this will happen. But it's something that is on the edge of understanding, and it has been publicized. It's just that most of us don't even look to see what's going on. And so the authorities do things. The authorities are doing all sorts of things to keep order in the event of disorder. Now, perhaps that's good. Perhaps that's not good. It would depend on what your orientation is. If you have a good orientation and love the people of the land, it would be a good thing. If you love power and government, it would not be so good. That kind of reminds me of World War II Germany. The government dominated the people, and the people expected the government to watch over and take care of them. Of course, that didn't happen the way they expected. There were a whole lot of violent and immoral people in Germany at that time. It was getting more and more increasing, widespread. So many of the people were alarmed, and they looked at the government to protect them. So you can kind of say that's going on here today also, when we have elements of lawlessness going on. We are wanting to be protected, we the people. And we are getting more and more fearful. And by the way, fear was one of the elements that the Nazis used to control the people. both the people in the prison camps and the people who were the citizens of Germany and other nations. Fear was used to control everybody. And today, there is a great element of fear going on. Another element that the government used widely was that those Jews and gypsies were spreading disease. So, as a matter of public health, the Jews and the gypsies had to be contained because they were dirty. Send them to a camp. In fact, give them a shower. And speaking of the showers, you know, well, we know today that the showers were really filled with chemicals to kill the Jews and the gypsies. So there was a plan, there was an organized plan to kill so many people in those European lands. They did it so efficiently. The German officers were ultimately in charge, but they had many Jews do the work. That was a common theme that happened. Jews were in charge of directing other Jews, sometimes with what their needs were, and sometimes just plain to their deaths. Those certain Jews who were capable and did the directing of other Jews to their death had great rewards. They had excellent food and fine clothes for the 4 months that they did their job, and then they were killed, and the next Jew took over their job. That was a well-known 4-month cycle, and it was done in many areas. And it was a 4-month cycle so that anybody who knew how the operation worked, that was a Jew, was killed, so they could not tell the story of what was really going on. That was a pattern. And it's interesting that even though many of those Jews that were in charge of other Jews knew what was going to happen, they didn't rebel. They knew death was coming, but they still did not rebel. I only know of one case where there was a rebellion among the Jews who were in charge of the prisons. Otherwise, well, the Nazi officers were, but they put the capable Jews in charge of running the things. So there's a principle of what happens if you don't resist. If you don't resist, the powers that be will simply tell you what to do. That's so normal and natural, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is. It's normal and natural, and we're seeing it happen right in front of our eyes. Yeah. We know better these days, we think. But really, we are all getting rewards when we live within the system, just like the concentration camps. How many people do you know who would do something bad to another person if they were rewarded with good coffee, good clothes, special treats, all sorts of things? Well, there are people who will compromise their morals, and some people have no morals, and they will do anything just for a good food and to not die. That's another thing, because so many of those people seem to be concerned about just living one more day. If they lived one more day, there was a chance that they could live another day. Day after day could turn into weeks and months and years. But it wasn't the case for almost any of them. But But we struggle with that concept today about doing something so that we are rewarding. And we get rewarded with fine, nice things if we fall into line and do what we're told. And we have to just remember that what are the plans that we want to fit into? Is it our plans or is it God's plans? Of course, it is God's plans that we want to fit into, and we have to weigh that in our conscience for what we are willing to do as we go through life. And yes, in the Bible, liberty and freedom are desired, but they are not essential. Loving God and loving your neighbor is the essential part. There's plenty of people who were bond servants in the Bible. And let's see, Paul in Romans, Peter in 2 Peter, and James in James 1 all say they are bond servants to Jesus Christ. So it's not a matter of not going to heaven if we are servants. It is simply that freedom is a good thing, and the Bible promotes it as a good thing, freedom and liberty. It's good. So the Bible does allow plenty of choice, and that's a matter of freedom also, is we have the freedom to choose what side we will follow, the good side of God or the bad side of the world. And then we get the consequences for our choice. That's how it works. Well, we do want to have knowledge. Knowledge will give us the understanding that we need to make the decisions. 2 Timothy 2:5 says to study, to show yourself approved. And a part of that approval is making decisions which are in agreement with God's will. So, yes, are you going to have the earthly rewards of good food, or are you going to have the heavenly rewards of being close to Jesus and having eternal life? Well, you know the answer there. Well, most of us do anyway. Some of us still choose to be friends with the world instead of a friend of God. Well, history is... so much has gone on in history, and if we study, we learn more and more things. And wisdom has always been a good thing. There was the wisdom of Solomon. He lived about 900 BC. There was the wisdom of Daniel. He lived about 500 BC. And there was the wisdom of Nehemiah. He was... 400 BC. And so all these people were in charge of other people. They directed situations. They directed the working of the Hebrew people. And that's what Nehemiah did. He directed the people to build a wall around Jerusalem. He was a servant, by the way, just like those other fellows I mentioned. And he was a servant to the Persian king Artaxerxes. Now, he was such a good servant that the king of Persia wanted to do something nice for Nehemiah. So he let Nehemiah go and build a wall around Jerusalem like Nehemiah wanted to do. And when Nehemiah was in Jerusalem building that wall, he organized the Hebrew families there into work teams. And they worked on the wall, but they were threatened by, Ashdodites and the Ammonites. And they said that they were going to exterminate the Hebrew people. So the Hebrew people, while they were building the wall, had to be armed. They went into two groups, one were builders and one were armed with swords to rebel and attack. And that's how Nehemiah built the wall around Jerusalem. He did what he had to do to build the wall. And some people today are concerned about doing what we have to do to protect ourselves. Now, many Americans have gotten to think that we don't have to protect ourselves because we are so well off. We have gotten riches from all over the world, and we have no need of anything except God, right? Yeah, well, anyway, it's been an American theme that we can take what we want. Well, we pay for it. We pay for the coffee. We pay for the bananas. We pay for the lumber and the iron ore and the oil. But everybody has a different opinion about whether we should or shouldn't. I will leave that to you. But historically, the United States has done some nice things for people. And we have had a military force that has gone against tyrants. By the way, the United States has been invaded twice. Once for sure in 1814 when the British set fire to Washington, D.C. And the other time was hardly a time, but you have to mention it. It was in 1941 when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Right after that, they also sent specialty airplanes to bomb several areas in Oregon. And their idea was to set the forests on fire so that the Americans would get worried. But it didn't happen. In part because the newspapers didn't report on it, in part because the forest fires were taken into stride. Well, there still are people today who want to control you just like the military does of other lands. That's what military does. They want to control another land or another people, and they figure out ways to do that. About the best way to do it is through a military war. And those military wars have been going on for centuries. But America is too strong. And so the forces that want to dominate America know that they have to weaken America before they take over America and its abundant natural resources. It's been a plan. It really has, that we have not been aware of, but to reduce the strength of America has been going on for decades, one way or another. One of the ways that it has been going on is to have one is depopulation, and that has been an effort that has been going on for decades. To reduce the population of America with regular traditional Americans. As I say, that's been going on for decades. And another way to weaken America has been to burden Americans with the many requirements on them. And a part of that has been going on through the plans of Agenda 21, which is a United Nations sanctioned plan that was presented in 1992. Agenda 21, in effect, it categorizes everything from natural resources to people. And once the things are identified and controlled, that is the goal. And as I said, that includes the people. The people of America are considered a resource, and the people are to be controlled. And to control the people, we are, according to the plan, to live in a big city. where we can be more closely monitored and controlled and regulated. And if you think about the controls on us now, you know that our water is essential and our electricity is essential to how we live. So those are two of the important elements to control the people. And the theme of it is Agenda 21. That theme has been the theme or the items that are required under Agenda 21 have been put into place by the bureaucracy of the United States. The United States has adopted the regulations of Agenda 21 without calling it Agenda 21. That has been going on for decades. And we just, what do we do to overcome that? Good question. But it all has to do with controlling the people. And a part of control is, like I said, putting them people into big cities and keeping them out of undeveloped or rural areas. And a part of keeping them out, keeping people out of undeveloped and rural areas is the Wetlands Project. That was a big thing in the mid-1990s. And it was defeated by our Congress and Senate. The Wetlands Project was not allowed to go forth. But as I say, what has happened is the bureaucracies have been ordered to put into place the same style of restrictions that Agenda 21 and the Wetlands Project has called to be implemented in the United States. Quite a thing, isn't it? It is something which we all have to be aware of because these things are going on, and they are going on often enough by executive orders or, again, bureaucracy. If you think about what our Joe Biden just said, he just said he was going to require the cars to get 52 miles per gallon as a fleet average. And that's a part of bureaucracy too. It is an order from above and not a law that is made by the representatives of the people. And you know that there's been the governor of California who also has made an executive order that only electric cars will be sold new in California after 2034. So apparently the gas-powered cars can still be sold, just no new cars. And that is only, a little over a dozen years away. It's not that far away to look at what would go on after 2034. And it's just not going to all of a sudden stop. It's going to be a gradual transition into that. So, what are we doing? What are we going to do about the changes that are coming? Are we going to embrace them and say, yes, we want electric cars. We want cars that cost $50,000. We want all these, whatever it is, it would be a whole lot of money. We want the houses that are perfect and energy efficient and cost, way more than houses do today. It's just that we are putting ourselves into a program that is going to cause poverty. It's going to cause us to be controlled and regulated. And we have a choice now. The question is, what do we do? Do we go along with the restrictions? Well, we don't have a lot of choice, do we? The government says so, and so we're going to do it. After all, we are law-abiding citizens, right? Well, every dictator wants to have a bunch of law-abiding citizens to obey. And we have to figure out where our position is. I don't know what to tell you to do. I barely know because there's a lot of options. And the biggest losers in this are going to be the young people. The young people who have a great big huge debt to repay with our national debt, with our state, and with our municipal debt in the form of bonds. And it's going to be a very, very difficult life for them. Or, well, we just have inflation, massive hyperinflation that will take away our debt. Well, there's a lot of unknowns here, and we just have to remember that the Bible has been the source of our strength. And we have to make sure that we are living by biblical principles. And one of them is to not get in debt. So what are we going to do? I think there's a lot of question about that. And so we better look at what our future will hold and try to guide it in ways that we want to see it. A lot of questions. What will our future hold? We sure don't know, but let us be God-honoring throughout it. I'm not even sure how to tell anyone how to prepare. I just know that we will always need water and food and warmth, and there's something you can do to make that happen. And so if you'd like a preparedness pamphlet that I give out for free, just send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope, and I will get that right back out to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Let us pray for one another. I'll pray for you. You pray for me and all the other people. And then may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Pours out to every nation.